This morning we are in a series called Love Thy Neighbor as something that is not only close to the heart of the Father, but should be close to the heart of us as disciples. And I have this question for us to ponder about. Becca mentioned about the annual meeting, and the word revival came up. And one of the things that we want to ask and we want to pose the question is, what if revival didn't come through miracles, but became through us knowing our neighbors? And so as we do that, one of the things that we want to continue, we talk about apprenticing our lives after Jesus, that we are disciples. We want to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, live like Jesus. And so the rhythms of that discipleship are threefold: to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so as we do that and focusing on becoming like Jesus, one of the things that we want to do is become people of hospitality. The practice of hospitality, just in the definition of it, is the practice of welcoming others. The practice of welcoming others. And then this week we're talking about specifically the welcoming of our neighbor. Because Jesus said, I was a stranger once among you, and you invited me in. So church, this is what we call, if you're new here or you haven't been to one of these, we call this our Discipleship Sunday because we really believe that we learn best from one another. That it's not our job as staff or my job as a pastor to talk at you, but for us to talk with each other. And so we do that once a month at the beginning. And so the way that we do that is talk with all generations from 1 to 101, even 102. And so what I want to do this, and we're going to learn from our kids this morning. So kids, if you're in elementary school, I'd love for you to come up and have a seat at the table, because we have set the table for you. That hospitality is talking about setting the table. Oh, thank you for my name tag. So kids, come on up, take a seat at the table. Come on up. We got multiple chairs, for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't be shy. Come on up. Take a seat. Find a seat. Some around here as well. Right. So friends, I have a question for you. This is a table, right? What do you do at your tables at home? Yeah. Anya? You eat at them? Yep. Pray at them. You pray at them? What else do you do? Yeah. Crafts? Yes. Like, I grew up, we had like a multi-purpose table. It was like dinner table, craft table, homework table. Everything was in the middle. Yeah. What else? What do you do at your tables? Anybody else? Nothing else? Yeah. You read at the table? I hope you clean the table. Yeah. Otherwise, like, that might be my job as a parent.
And then it will be messy.
Yeah, it goes clean to messy, clean to messy. Right, right, right. Okay, so I have a question for you then. I actually want to read a scripture first for you. And it's gonna set our morning to us. So this is Genesis chapter 18, 1 through 8. It's going to be on the screen. So if you want to look at that as we read this together. Well, not read this together. I'll read it. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried to the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham quickly went into his tent to Sarah. Quick, get three seahs and the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. And then he ran to the herd, selected a choice tender calf, and he gave it to his servant who hurried to prepare it. He brought them some curds and milk and the calf that they had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under the tree. So Abraham set the table. So we're going to set the table this morning with you is I'm going to pass these out. If you want to pass these around, these are going to be, what do you think these things are? All right, and then we're going to have some colors for you to get. So if you want to grab some colors and pass it around. So we talked about, one of you said eating at the table. This is like a table setting. Have you ever had a table setting? Have you ever ate at a fine dining place or like at home? Thanksgiving, you went to a grandmother's and grandmother had multiple like place settings and stuff like that and you got super intimidated. So we have a plate. I have a question for you. And the question is this. What do you need at a table setting? And let's help each other.
We need food.
Okay. Well, what do you need before you have food? What's on there right now?
A plate.
Okay. So we've got a plate. What else do you need?
Fork, knife, and spoon, and glass.
Okay. You need somebody. What do you say? Fork, knife, and spoon. If I come over, I eat with my hands. But that's okay. So, hey, I want you to draw this. We're going to create and set the table. So on your place setting, you want to draw maybe a knife, a fork, and a spoon. And you can decide wherever they go on the side of the plate. It does not matter. I don't care if you're European or do it in the American way. It's okay. We're all here. You need a green and a red? There we go. Here. Here, come sit over here then. There's a lot of space. There's always room at the table for more. Okay, so we have tables. We have plates. What else do you think we might need? If you're going to host somebody at your house, what do you need? What do you need? We got forks and knives.
Food.
You need a glass?
I said I need black.
Oh, black. I only got a gray.
I know.
Oh, here. Can we borrow a black? Yeah. You need a glass, right, to drink something out of. Okay. So you can make a glass. Okay. And you can put whatever color beverage in there if you want, like water, or maybe you like juice, you know, or soda. That's cool too. Root beer. Yeah. Water. Okay. In there. And then what else do you need as well? So we got our forks, our utensils. We got a cup. What else do you need? What do you need?
Spoons.
Yep. What else do you need? Somebody mentioned it earlier. What? Oh, you need a napkin because we do not wipe our hands on our clothes. I'm helping your parents out right now. Kids, we don't wipe our hands. Actually, I'm going to help the adults. Don't wipe your hands on your clothes either. Like, I know some of you. I've been to your houses. I'm just kidding. Here we go. Right? Okay. So we need a napkin. We got a cup. We got utensils. Okay, well, we can find. Okay, and then so what else? We got that. Somebody mentioned something earlier. What is missing in the middle?
Food.
All right, so I've got some food here. And you could draw some food, but I also have some food here for you that you can continue to pass out. And you can have. You could color some of them. And then, but we also have food. Like in this food... Oh, you don't have to stick it. Just arrange it. So we have fruit. Always good. It's on the pyramid, right? This is on your kids' pyramid, pizza. This is acceptable at fine dining. Just so you know. Acceptable. And then, oh, here's another one. Cookies. Ooh, always available at the house. And then bread or pan.
Pizza.
Yep, you got bread. Whoever did this has a sweet tooth because we got ice cream. Right, so you got three desserts.
Cupcake.
Oh, is that a cupcake?
Yeah,
that's okay. Cupcake, ice cream. And then an apple. So we got these things that go on your food. You can make it ice cream. You can make these whatever kind of cookies you want. Peanut butter if you like them. You have food. Okay. And then I have a question for you. So like right here's at the table. And then here's a question for you. While you're at the table and while you're eating, do you have any special, like, things you do at the table while you eat?
Pray.
Oh, you pray? Oh, that's a good one. High, low, and buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody know what high, low, buffalo is? But you do that at your houses?
Me.
high, low in Buffalo, something high in the day, something low in the day. And then Buffalo is just a wild card. You can call it a unicorn, whatever you want to call it. But we are just talking about our days. And also, did you notice something here, too? There was something here as well that we asked people to wear. And some of you are wearing it, but not all of you are wearing it. What is this?
Name tag.
A name tag. Why do we do a name tag?
So we know each other's name.
So we know each other's name. So not only do we write like high, low, we ask high, low Buffalo to know who they are or what they love and good things about their day, but we ask who their name is because we want to be hospitable, to show hospitality by getting to know who they are. So this is why often hospitality, hospitable. It's like the, you know, English is a weird language. I know. It's super weird, right? Like, but that's the thing is like, so in hospitality, we talk about setting the table with food. We need a red. Anybody got a red? Oh, if, hey church, if you need some red mark, you're like, please bring them home and bring them here. Right. But like, that's the thing is like, we get to know one another, right? We get to know one another by talking the tape. So I want to ask a question. I want to practice this. Oh, what was maybe a high, just share one, a high, low, or a buffalo about your day today that you're going to have? Yeah.
My high is going to church.
Oh, that's a good answer. Stephen's high is going to church. Yep.
Right now. My mama.
Your mom is your high?
Yes.
Yes, awesome. That's a good answer. Oh, yes. Could you get to see her? Yep. Okay. And what else? Anybody got a high, a low, or a buffalo they want to share? Anybody else want to say?
And my buffalo is my mom getting a new job.
Oh, yes. Your mom getting a new job. That's your buffalo. Awesome. Anybody else have something that they want to share about like their day?
I need red.
Anybody else?
Real red.
Clara, Marion, you got anything?
No.
Nope. Maybe your high is that you get to color at church and create the table. Yeah, that's pretty fun. Yep. This is the thing that we talk about church. And so the question like I have for us is this question. Is what's the difference? They're going to continue to do colors and set the table. But the question I have for you today is we talk about what's the difference between practice and entertaining? Red colors. Red crowns. Everybody gets. You get a crown. You get a crown. You get a crown. You get a crown. Sorry.
It's a crown.
Oh, crown. Crown. It's one of the words that I never learned to say as a kid. Sorry. What's the difference between practice and entertainment? And to entertain. What's the difference? This is where we talk. They've done their good job. Now this is our good job. Doing a good job. What's the difference between practice and entertaining? Yeah, good job. Yeah, Stephen, you said you just practice what you do. Do you do it once?
A day. Like almost every day.
Almost every day. Okay. You practice something every day. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Rebecca said the difference is like practice is, I love that you said that, the ability to mess up. How many of us give ourselves the opportunity to mess up? And then entertainment is something that you are perfecting, that you are presenting. Yeah, I love that. What else? What's the, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I think there's something about that reciprocity.
Yeah. Yeah, Melinda said that the practice, there's that reciprocity to go back and forth. In entertainment, you're consuming, right? It's only one way. Like when you go somewhere and maybe you go to a really fine dining restaurant where there's no like menu and they just give it to you. You have no choice in the matter. Like, you are being entertained. I just feel like this movie, are you not entertained? Right? It's that question. Like, I'm providing something for you. Are you not entertained? Right? What else? What have you experienced? Yeah. Yeah, is entertainment is like the veneer. It's a performance that you don't get to, yeah, you watch. It's a passive participation, right? Like, you are a participant, but it's passive. Yeah. What else? Difference between practice and, yeah.
Well, just to tell you, when I was younger, I actually was at like a play, and it was for ballet there, and other dances.
Yeah. Yeah, and Anya was talking about, like, when she was young, she got to go to, when she was younger, got to go to, younger, man, I feel like, oh, I remember the days I was younger. But talking about, like, going to plays and going to ballets, like, even from an early on age, she's saying she is being interacting with things that are entertaining, right? We take ourselves to entertainment, right? We are postured towards entertainment. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. So Micah said, like, one of the things that can be really formational or like dependent on how you practice or entertain is the company that you keep, right? If somebody you don't know, you always want to set forth a good impression, right? And so you limit maybe or kind of shrink down what you do as just the best of you. You don't want to give everybody like the whole side of you because you might not like that. There's that pressure. But when you're with your friends, you're able to like practice and be your full self. And then it's a give and take. Yeah, I like that. What else? Yeah. 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 Yeah, I like that. The difference is some of it is like practice. Man, who heard the phrase practice makes perfection?
Make perfect.
Made perfect. Oh, sorry. Man. From the mouth of children, right? Like, kids say the darnest things. They correct you. They have no... Look, did you know that? Did you notice, like, none of the adults corrected me, but you did? And I'm so thankful for that. It's called humility. Oh, yes. Practice makes perfect. But I love it that Trish said that like there is practice is makes progress. What? Practice makes permanence. Yeah. Oh, how many of us have entertained or like planned on entertaining, but then we cancel? It's an option, maybe. It's like in your calendar, you pencil it in. We're not pinning anything in. It's not permanent. It's an option, but practice is something that you do. I actually like that. One of the things that, hold your thought and I will be right back to you, okay? Okay. I think this is interesting about, you made me think about practice, is sometimes practice that you do with, like at a team, but sometimes you practice this at home, even when you think you're practicing, right? So we are always, think about this, especially as we talk about setting the table. You are consistently 3 times a day practicing table fellowship and hospitality. You just don't know you're doing it. The question shouldn't be if you practice, but when you practice. Because every day you're practicing. I have a friend that practices smoking meat all the time. But he wouldn't say he's practicing it because he never practices it with me. He's under this foolish impression that he's not practicing, but he is. And so he should just practice with me. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
When you practice, you get better as you work.
I need my crown.
As practice, you get better as you go. Here's the thing that we've been talking about a ton, is that in this like distinguishment between practicing and entertaining, especially when it comes to our neighbor, is when you entertain, it's about you. How good of a host are you? People are judging you, like, if I'm going to come back, if they're a good host, right? We're all wired to that. Like, we go in there, like, how good of a job did they do? Because they're here to entertain me, like in a party. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Practice is spontaneous. You never know when it's going to come up. But entertainment, we have built into our schedules. We have special days, right? Christmas. How many of you, man, I wonder if we could change some of those days from entertainment to practice and what it would do to your anxiety levels? Thanksgiving, Christmas, for all of us men in the room, anniversaries are like, right? Mother's Day, right? Can we, no, sorry, that one doesn't count. Ooh, we got to entertain on Mother's Day. That's next week. Just for all of you that forgot. Public service announcement, Mother's Day is next week. Call your moms. Send a card. Okay. But here's the thing. Practice. I love this. That practice is not about you. It's about the other. And so the way that we talk about this, if entertaining is about you, practice is about God and the Holy Spirit doing work in you. We have this phrase that we want to be for God's glory and our neighbor's good. If you're practicing hospitality, it's for God's glory and your neighbor's good. Because as we've talked about this, when somebody comes over to your house and they expect to be entertained, but you're practicing hospitality, they should be like, how do you do this? I like this a lot better than the pressure of entertainment, to be entertained. So as we talk about this idea of what does it look like to practice, one of the things that you got as you came in, you didn't even know you're practicing hospitality right now. You all got a name tag. Just an easy way to practice hospitality to one another. The way that you can love your neighbor and practice hospitality is by leading with your name. Like, how many of your neighbors don't want to come over to our houses because they forget our name? But if you led to say, like, hey, my name's Austin. I know, like, I don't remember yours, and I know you probably don't remember mine. So, like, here, I'll lead. I will practice by leading and not feeling like there's shame involved. I think that's the thing, is like practice doesn't include shame, entertainment does. Because you either meet the bar or you don't meet the bar. Right? And so then the other way that we practice hospitality is you should have gotten a card when you came in. And sometimes when we cook, like everything has a recipe. Some, if you're like my mother, the recipe's up here. And it's just trying things. It's like, oh, put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But for some other people that aren't practiced well, you need to look at something. And if you've never thought about what practice of hospitality is, look at the card. The card is your recipe for hospitality. Your practice, can I have one of them? Somebody has one right up front. I know you do, because I had two.
This one isn't worth
I love this. If it talks about, you know, the difficulty, we talked about this as a staff a lot. It gets easier with practice. Hospitality gets easier with practice. But it's one part invitation, one part welcome, one part care, one part service, and five parts Holy Spirit's guidance. And then the notes for people that need notes, because I need that. You practice often, you lead with love, and you stir together with prayer. Friends, this is what will revive our neighborhoods. This is what will revive your own lives as you learn to practice and not entertain. As we sit here at the table, we are all friends. How many of us would rather have a full table than an empty one? Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for all of my friends here at the table. Thank you that you teach us even from a young age. We are wired with knowing how to set the stage and to set the table to love. So Holy Spirit, would you come in? Would you come in our lives? And would you remind us right now, Holy Spirit, that there are people in our neighborhoods that are lonely. And we have a recipe that answers loneliness. And Father, we might be lonely too. Because we have a table that just isn't practiced. Holy Spirit, right now, I just ask that you would lay upon our hearts. Not in shame, but encouragement of the ways that we can love our neighbors. Maybe there's one neighbor, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come? Continue to speak. Continue to guide. Continue to form. We ask this in your name. Amen.